Good morning. Good morning to you guys. Oh boy, they're just as sleepy as ever, aren't they? A couple of weeks ago, remember we met in this room on a Monday afternoon, and I was looking at a couple of you, and you're kind of nervous and worried about what are we going to have to do that morning? What are we going to have to say? Are we going to have to stand up there by ourselves? Worked out okay, huh? Wasn't too bad? Good. That's the point. What's interesting about that is, as Christians, when you come and need to say something to somebody about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you don't have to come up with your own words. He's already going to give those to you. He promises that. He's going to basically, here's what you say. One of the things I used to say to my confirmation students was, you know, if somebody asks you what you believe, just say the Apostles' Creed. Let that work for itself. Just tell people, I believe in God who created me, who loved me, who died for me, and who made me a Christian, and leave it at that for a while. You don't have to get all wrapped up in fine details, because the more details you get into, the harder it actually becomes for us sometimes. Because, see, confirmation is not a graduation to become some great theologian. Now, we've been through a lot as far as learning. I don't know your early years, but my early years were I was in a Lutheran grade school all the way up to eighth grade. I went to a Lutheran high school. And then I was already going to youth group for on and off. And then I went and taught Bible class for a church for about 7 years. Then I became a Sunday school teacher. Then I became the Sunday school superintendent. You keep learning. And then I went finally to the seminary, spent 4 years there. And you know what? I don't know it all at all. I can't know it all. I still listen to other pastors who I know are a whole lot smarter than me. But you are just starting out on your travels. You're starting out on the journey that leads all of us to eternal life. And this is part of it, to bring you into the Word a little deeper, to learn it better, and to help you realize that's where you go. As I told the little ones, that's where you go when the questions are coming, and boy, they're going to come. Either somebody's going to ask you questions, or you're going to start asking yourself questions. And you're not going to be alone in this journey. That's why everybody is here today. They're here to welcome you. They're here to encourage you to be part of a community of believers in Jesus Christ, who's our Savior. And what is it that that community teaches? It teaches that Jesus suffered, died, and rose again to forgive our sins. And what we are called to do is go and repent, which basically says, admit that God is right when he says, you're a sinner. I'm a sinner, Lord. Forgive me. That's all it takes, because that's what he wants from his people. Trust in his word, that you're a sinner, but that you've been saved through Jesus and his word and his death on the cross for you. As I said, you're in a community. You're not going to do this by yourself. Now, in the book of Acts, there is a part where the early church is being described, how it's growing. And one day, Peter had a wonderfully short sermon, and 3,000 people were converted on that day. It's never happened to me. I don't know if it's happened to you. But 3,000. And what did those 3,000 do? It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And then it says, goes on, and they were selling their possessions, belongings, and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. The converts, the new people, the people of the church, the community, were doing four basic things. Four things. First one is simply they're devoting themselves to the teaching of the apostles. Well, what is the teaching of the apostles? Well, it's simply this. Jesus told them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, he said. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, which they've done, have been done to them, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them, which we've begun, to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. That's the teaching of the apostles, basically telling the world what Jesus tells them. No different. No more different than what Pastor Camphor was doing with you when he read the questions and he gave you the answers. That's what the disciples were doing. They were merely repeating what Jesus has already told them. That's what we're called to do, merely repeat what Jesus has told us. No more difficult than that. Devoting yourself to that. That means this is what we want to do in life. We like it. We have to have it. We want it more. Devoting ourselves to this day after day. They were devoting themselves to hearing what Jesus did for them and what Jesus said to them. That's what those new converts, that's what we all need to hear. That's what we all need to be reminded of day after day. And that's what confirmation, that's what Sunday school, that's what Bible classes, and that's what the worship services are all about. Devoting ourselves to hearing the teachings of the apostles, the words that Jesus told them. That's for us too. Now, there's an important reason they remain devoted, because it's going to be tough out there. As I mentioned to the little ones, there's the way, and then there's his way, or our way. And that's what's going to be trying to pull us off the way. Not only people around you, but your own selfish, self-centered, sinful nature, which I hate to say we all have, but it's true. That's going to want to pull us in the wrong direction. And if that isn't enough in life, then you have all sorts of other people who are going to do the same thing. They're trying to pull you away every day of the week. All you have to do is look on any internet now. Just the other day, I was looking, perusing through some of the YouTube stories that they have, or YouTube channels. And there they were, these very learned, very official-looking academics who were saying, there's no thing as God. Doesn't exist. And we can show you. We can prove it. We can do this. We can do that. Lots of them, not just one. But these very high-thinking, high academics who when people look up to and say, well, they must know because they're so smart. And they're going to say, Jesus never existed, God doesn't exist, this is all a pointless exercise. But what they're taking away is the joy of what Jesus has already told us, that he has overcome death, which is our greatest enemy. Nobody wants to die. But it's happening to every one of us sometime. That's our worst and greatest enemy. And it's because of sin that we die. And it's because of Jesus that he came and dealt with our sin, dealt with your sin, and he then gives us forgiveness, which says when death comes, it's not the end. You just pass through the door of death into eternal life with me. And in this place, this community, you will remember and hear that. You should hear that every week, every day in some way or another. Another thing I mentioned on that day we were together. I brought you in here and I said, you know what they call this room? Remember what I said? What was it? The nave, right. It's the nave. And it kind of sounds like navy, I said, right? And it's in a sense, if you think about this, if you flip it upside down, what do we got? We got a big boat. And that's what this oftentimes a church is presented as a big boat. Because what happened in a big boat one time in this world? Again, others say, oh, it didn't happen. But what happened? God saved Noah through the flood. And that's what this is in essence. God saving you through the flood, through the terrors, through the darkness, through the tortures and tribulations of life. He's carrying you through the flood, taking you to where he wants you to be, safe with him. So devoting yourself to his word and sacraments is here and will help you and carry you through the trials and tribulations that you will ultimately find, maybe even starting today. Christianity is not a do-it-yourself job. It's not, I'm going to be a lone wolf in this world. There's some people who think Christian faith is between me and God. Not really. It's between us and God. We're a community that works together, that sings together, that prays together, that worships together, that hears and devotes themselves to the Lord's word. all the time together. There's a pastor named Chad Bird. I was reading something that he wrote. He said, Christianity is not about a personal relationship with Jesus. The phrase is never found in the Bible, and the whole Bible witnesses against it. Our life is a Christ in community. It's not personal, it's not private, it's not individual. When the scriptures speak of believers, they're part of a community, a fellowship of believers. Christianity is about a church relationship with Jesus. That's what this is. We come together, we celebrate their confirmation. We come together, we celebrate the baptism of a child. We come together and celebrate the marriage of people. And we come together and sometimes celebrate what Christ has done for a person whose casket is sitting here. And we celebrate together that Jesus is with us through it all. And that by his grace, his mercy, we are getting through the flood of this life. Now, it also says they were dedicated to the breaking of bread. Later it says in the scripture they also got together for breaking of bread. Probably a good hint that the breaking of bread is what we did earlier, the receiving of the body and blood of Christ. That's what you guys need too. We all need that. How many of you just eat once a week? Once a month? I don't see anybody shaking their head. Same thing when it comes to the spiritual food. We can't just let it go and think, I can eat it once in a while. I don't really need it. Because as Luther says, if you don't think you need it, first off, you better pinch yourself. Are you still alive? Are you still a human being? Because the world is still out there trying to drag you into troubles and trials. The lion is still a roaring lion trying to bring you into his dark kingdom and take you away from the kingdom of life. And if you don't think you need it, you're endangering yourself. Because our Lord has promised in this food that he gives to us, his body and his blood, he says, I'm going to be there to strengthen your faith. I'm going to be there to encourage you to go out and be a faithful, loving person in this community. Faith for God and fervent love for one another, we pray at the end of this oftentimes. In that supper, you are promised forgiveness of your sins and the promise of eternal life. And the world's going to weigh you down at times. There's going to be times when your own sins are going to overpower you and you're going to feel so much guilt. And then there's going to be times when Satan's going to come and he's going to accuse you of being unworthy people. You don't deserve to be in church. You don't deserve God's love. You don't deserve anything in this world. But Jesus, through the meal, was going to remind you, you are worth something to him. So much that he suffered and died and bled his blood, lifeblood away for you. So remember that. And one more thing they did, devoted to prayer. Why do we pray? Why do we pray as a group? Why don't we always just pray about me, about myself? Which a lot of people do. It's sad, but sometimes all we pray about is me. Me, myself, and I, and all my needs, all my wants. But we're a community. God calls us a body. Christ is the head, and we are parts of that body. And, well, I tell you this, I work in surgery all my life, and I know that if one part of the body is sick, the whole body gets sick. I know that if one part of the body gets lopped off, the rest of the body is missing it. It needs every part of the body. That's why we pray together, because we need each other. We need each other to encourage ourselves as we travel through this life. We need each other to strengthen and be with one another when we're suffering, when we're joyful, when we're unhappy, when we've had losses, and when we have great and wonderful days. We are a body of Christ. We aren't alone in this world. We're a community devoted to his word, devoted to the fellowship, devoted to his body and blood in the communion, and devoted to prayer for one another. Jesus calls us into a living and an active worshiping community. He's calling you today. Be in this living, worshiping, acting out for other people community. Regularly receive his gifts. Don't let it drop behind. And like the church in the book of Acts, We're just like them. Nothing's changed. Devote yourself to the apostles' teaching, to Jesus' words. Because we've been washed into his body by baptism, you are part of the community. We eat the same community bread and body, our body and blood that Jesus gives to us. And together we'll pray together, confess together, we'll grieve and heal, and eventually we'll all die together as a group, as a community of Christ. And then we will all be raised together in eternity. You are a part of this community, and it's been brought to you by Jesus and his life and his death and his resurrection. He brings you into the community, and in his community, Jesus will give you his gifts and forgiveness and his mercy your whole life. Until, as I said before, we are carried through the flood and brought to the promised land of his eternal rest. And in his name we pray. Amen.